What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Vunganyi in Washington.
And I'm Nadia Sami. You're listening to Upfront, the hottest program on The Voice of America. Thank you so much for joining us for another show. Today, we'll explore issues, as usual, we'll explore issues that affect your daily lives and discuss them here in the studio.
Welcome to Upfront on The Voice of America. Now, today, we'll look at an issue previously discussed here on the show, and that's the idea that there is a standard form of beauty that is universally accepted. One of the inadvertent impacts of globalization on our societies has been the constant proliferation of images, mostly through Western media, that many say has led to a distorted perception of beauty. The result, as we continue to see across the continent, is that young women are embracing an idea of beauty they deem acceptable by Western pop cultural standards. Studies show that as many turn to cosmetic products and other artificial embellishments, they strive to achieve features associated with Western beauty, such as a lighter skin, the reason why there is the bleaching industry is worth billions of dollars, hair extensions, plastic surgery, etc. They do this to appear more attractive and to conform to this unattainable idea of beauty. But among those that perpetuate this ideal construct of a perfect woman are men, many of whom either consume the media or control it. From magazines to movies to a car commercial with a blonde skinny model, young women feel the pressure and often end up having self-esteem issues that affect them all their lives. So, what is your idea of beauty and where is your pressure coming from?
What matters in Africa is how somebody smiles to you, responds to you, even a greeting. That's what beauty is all about, not someone who has a physical appearance, but someone who is very good in manners. That's what we call beauty.
I had a huge gap when I was younger, and my mom just kept telling, because my mom's Rwandan. It's like, please don't fix your teeth. And man, but when I started my first job when I was 17, the first thing I did was get to that dentist and close the gap. True, I hate it when I tell someone that I'm African, and they're like, oh my goodness, you don't look African. I think Africa has no standard look. There are certain things you can do to enhance your beauty. There's a hair extension, things like that. But once you get to actually physically changing your body, when you physically change your breasts, you physically change your nose, it's like, how beautiful is that in the first place?
For me, a beautiful person is someone who's confident, someone who has respect for other people around them, someone who's willing to listen, especially. That's pretty important for me. So many times you meet so-called beautiful people that I find aren't really very beautiful at all.
Beauty is a packet. Beauty is, I'd say, 70% how you feel. I mean, from the inside out. As far as some outsiders, beauty is, I think, a person's personality as it enhances or is a part of her beauty package. I'm gonna make you the hair from my ghetto.
Quack, you go follow. In case you've just joined us, you're listening to Upfront. I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg and Jackson Vunganyi is in Washington, D.C. Thanks for joining us. Do pop us an email or catch us on Facebook or Twitter to let us know what topics you think we should be talking about. There's a burning issue happening in your neck of the woods. Let us know what it is and we'll explore. Now, we know that the idea of what is considered beautiful is often debatable, right, Jackson, in different contexts. And physical beauty as a concept is elusive, and people have different parameters in deciding who and what is considered beautiful. For example, only your mama would consider you beautiful.
Nadia, of course, and the problem is that we often let the media establish for us the definition of beauty, you know?
This is true.
In the studio with me, I have three young college students, Caleb, Miss Fawola Damisi, and Jacqueline Gross. Guys, thank you very much for joining me today and welcome to the show. Do you feel there's a standard idea of what beauty is?
I think that a lot of people think beautiful is what they don't have. So I think with women with curly hair, think that what's beautiful is women with straight hair, and women who are very like light-skinned think that women that are beautiful are very tan. And so I think that beautiful is kind of like an unrealistic standard to try to reach, because it's always going to be what you can't have.
So it's very hard to really satisfy human beings. They feel like, well, if you don't have something, you want to get it.
Exactly. But I also think that people need to realize, and I know how cliche this sounds, but being beautiful is being happy. If you're comfortable with yourself, then you tend to be happier. And when you're happier, you come off as more beautiful.
Right. And we'll get there.
Preach.
We'll get there. Church. But we'll start off with you, Damisi. Okay, so what's your take on this, Damisi? What's your standard?
In my opinion, beauty comes from within. And just like Jacqueline said, when you are confident in yourself, when you believe that you are beautiful as a person, people are going to believe you're beautiful. So I think that there definitely is a standard of beauty, but it depends on who you ask. So I think the majority of at least youth in America today will identify beauty based on your outward appearance.
So you're saying there's a standard idea of beauty, but depending on
most,
who you ask.
Yes.
Okay.
But my based standard on what? Of beauty is different than a lot of people's.
Based on cultures or people?
Based on outside influences. If you let something influence you to a point, then you're going to start developing those beliefs for yourself. So I think it comes back to whether you're willing. It basically comes down to what you believe and whether you're willing to conform. Precisely.
Yeah, well, I guess in my opinion, so beauty is directly linked with marketing. And if we go into as far as history tells us, marketing has been essentially an artificial method to get people to attain a certain product.
To consume. Right.
So to control the consumer's perception. So perception is huge in this, and perception is also directly linked with cultural influences. So essentially, the entire world has become globalized, as you said, into a Western society.
Do you agree with Jacqueline that that beauty, the standard and expectation of beauty in popular culture has changed, has evolved over the last 10 years?
Yeah, I definitely believe that it's changed. Just like she said, it's most males, in my experience, are more into big butts now. And in the past, it was small butt, small waist, you know, and now it's like, oh, big boobs.
But runway models are still kind of emaciated, skinny, scrawny, you know. I mean, there's the movement. There was a movement to try and get more females on runways that reflect what an ideal female body looks like, but they're still populated by very skinny women.
But I actually don't think that people are looking at models as the standard now. Those are the people they use for their shows and for magazines and things like that. But I don't think youth in today's society are looking at those women and wanting to be them. I think they're more so looking at celebrities and, you know, the people who dominate the music industry and all those people and, you know, sex appeal and all that. And those aren't usually those skinny models.
Right.
Those are,
those are more reflective of much more.
Mm-hmm. Well, you look at certain songs that are coming out, like Meghan Trainor's song, you know.
All About That Bass.
All About That Bass. It's like, it's basically encouraging being curvy and being comfortable with yourself. And I think that you talked about how we're in a movement. And I think that we are in a movement where women are growing stronger and stronger. And I don't know. I think that they're becoming more comfortable. And it's kind of like you say that men kind of control the way that women look. But I think that now we're going away from that and women are controlling the way that women look.
Oh, that's interesting. You think women are taking back the power to look the way they want to look? The idea of beauty being defined by women, the idea of female beauty being defined by women as opposed to men. Media is largely owned by men. And so they're the drivers of these perceptions and of the marketing of the, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But she's saying that women are taking back that power to kind of redefine what an ideal woman looks like.
Yeah, I think that's directly linked to the women's movement in the United States. And as far as the amount of freedom, as far as we have the freedom of speech and so on, and how it's so proliferated in this country. But, and also, I think an important note to take is, I believe that if we switched, as far as history goes, switch the tables, and if Africa was the colonial power and that it conquered Europe and it conquered the native, the Americas, that the entire world would be focused on looking like an African woman. So essentially that's to say that if the more globalized we become, the more homogenous we become, the less one, it's the less, as far the less the tables will be turned as focused on one race.
That's a very interesting take on it, Caleb. But we'll come back to you guys in the studio in a minute. But Nadia, it does appear from the conversations here we're having with these young people that people in general, really, the perception of beauty are a bit lacking in substance in general.
Our perception about beauty, physical or otherwise, are superficial or shallow.
Exactly.
So I spoke to Matilda Mutango about the concept of beauty and what she considers beautiful.
I see someone's beauty by the way they carry themselves and the way they actually approach other people. It's not all about physical stuff.
Do the physical attributes play any part here
at all? Of course. They have to be appealing. Mm. In a way, but they don't
physically
have to be extraordinary. Mm. Cannot have it all bad, right?
Right.
You have to at least have one attribute to make up for all the other losses in your life.
But when you talk about physical beauty, don't we all have what we look for in terms of defining what physical beauty is?
Exactly. I really think it's a cultural thing too, a culturally driven like criteria. As in, Africans will look at a certain body type, and a certain like certain features will be emphasized for like an African man, what they're looking at. Again, I'm generalizing, but that's just how I see it. And then,
so if I look like Shrek and then I have a good personality, I'm okay.
You're more than okay.
I'm good in your books.
What? You're done.
So, why is it that there's such an emphasis on the physical attributes of beauty? Then, why have we come to define beauty as something that is more physical than it is about our internal? Our innards, so to say.
Oh,
I'm sorry, did I use the word innards?
You just used the word innards.
I'm sorry.
Innards. No. I feel like, for me, this is how I see it. I think it's more the first thing that you notice, right? You're not going to look at a person, because I have people who tell me, no, you know, the first time we met, I thought, oh my God, he has such a beautiful soul. Like, you're not going to see his soul when you see him, okay? The first thing you're going to notice is this guy physically attractive? If he's not, then move
beautiful
on. You know what
soul.
I mean? And same thing to a guy. Like, is a woman beautiful or whatever? You don't look at, oh, they might have a good personality. So it's the first impression, basically, and that's why it's really emphasized.
Okay.
Exactly.
Now, can you tell from talking to me on the phone that I'm a beautiful person? Enough said. Don't answer that question, okay? The silence has spoken volumes in this case, and I'll let you go for that.
Well, from your arrogance, you know, and the way you carry yourself on the phone, and the tone of your voice.
Right.
Because if you find someone who's beautiful and you tell them they're cute and they're a guy, it's just, no, don't take that as a compliment. It's more, you're handsome, okay?
Okay.
Your masculinity comes out, you know what I mean?
Now, Nadia, is it true that when asked about a definition of beauty, female beauty, many men cite physical attributes?
Oh, they certainly do, Jackson. And granted, for men and women, when you walk into a room, your first impression will be based on what your eyes tell you. And for many people, based on what they see, they will decide if they'll actually go to the next point of striking up a conversation with a person. So the physical characteristics are a big part of the initial meeting. I don't think many will argue with that, but I think it's important to note that what will keep the attention of a woman after that point is the personality, the sense of humor, etc. Men, on the other hand, well, I guess it doesn't take much to keep a man's attention, does it? What do you think, Jackson?
Well, I think it's first how you capture the attention and then you keep it later, right?
I think
so. Most people, I guess, will gravitate towards the more physically attractive people in the room, and then...
Absolutely. Physically attractive, but when we're talking about physically attractive, we talking about the package, to put it very bluntly,
but
the package that they're confronted with, but also the confidence, because your body language will
That is another form of beauty.
Absolutely.
Because you could find the physically unattractive person, but they exude a certain
Absolutely.
Aura around themselves that you find so charming and
attractive.
And that's very
powerful.
Real men actually go for that, right?
I think so.
Now, Nadia, very interesting. We'll continue being up front with our topic, beauty. Very interesting topic. What do you consider beautiful? Keep your station. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. This is Upfront on the Voice of America. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. We are still talking about beauty, the perception of beauty, how globalization has affected our understanding of beauty.
and some of the impact it has had on our societies, on our communities, and on our young women and men in the world, but, you know, most specifically on the continent.
I mean, I almost like that people from different cultures and different parts of the world don't only strive to be like Western culture and like what we have. I think that we're going in the right direction with people aiming to be different or aiming to conform or like aiming to show pride in like their own culture.
Less conformation to the dominant culture, I guess.
Yeah, and instead like embracing their own culture. Like, I think it's great when people don't conform to the Western culture, and because that's what makes the world different.
And speaking of not conforming, I should say with lots of pride that one of our guests here today is Damisi Fawole, a young Nigerian-American woman. She's rocking natural hair.
Not 2 weeks ago, I wasn't, but... I mean, it was still natural, but, you know. But going off what Jacqueline was saying, like, I know in specific places in Africa, I'm going to speak for Nigeria because I know Nigeria, like, a gap in someone's teeth would be considered very beautiful, and that's, like, a sign of beauty there. But here people like want to get braces immediately, don't want any gaps in their teeth.
Matter of fact, one of the young women that I interview on this show says that she could not wait to turn 17 and have that gap closed. And I know you're right. In most African societies, most African cultures, that is a symbol of beauty, having a gap in your teeth.
Yeah. So I think that's so interesting. And I really do admire that distinction because, you know, I feel like most people are coming here and conforming, but I appreciate the people who are sticking to their own standards of beauty. And I mean, if it's not unhealthy, but there's something beautiful about being able to be comfortable in your own skin. And also about how the way I see it is individualism. I'm a strong component of individualism. So I don't want to say that the media is the one to blame and that, you know, if the media weren't this way, I will say that, you know, we're all subject to peer pressure and influences from the media and things like that. But it boils down to your personal convictions. And I really believe that if we as humans didn't succumb to or didn't buy into the standard of beauty that the media was pushing on us, then we would live in a different society.
Caleb,
right now.
There's no conspiracy by the media to create this construct of ideal beauty, no?
No, it's completely out there for us. And it's almost before our eyes, but at the same time, there are many people who ignore it, or they think they ignore it, but subliminally, I think it really puts images in our minds and influences us, whether we like it or not.
That's just the world that we're living in.
Right. So I guess that's the power of media, too, you know?
It's extremely, I mean, like you said, it's $1 billion industry, bleaching. And even in India, like, it's if you're light skinned, you're considered, you know, above. And
like
even
in the social strata.
Exactly.
Right.
Regardless
the lighter you are, the more power, I guess, you have, the more prominence you have in society.
Absolutely. And it's easy to talk about that being in here. But like, if you actually visit the countries, it's serious. Like, it's actually surprising.
There's been a serious brainwashing that has been going on for centuries that is really hard to overcome by in like a decade or two of but do you see a movement within these communities, like say in Nigeria, where in Nigeria
I can't speak for the majority of people, so I don't know if there's any kind of movement. I would love there to be, but I do know of people, friends who use African black soap, which is one of the side effects, I guess, is it like makes your skin lighter. And I
it's
just
called
like
African black soap.
It's called African black soap. It's black.
That's a cynical name.
Like, my cousin
for a bleaching soap.
You know, it makes it. He is lighter skin than I've ever seen him, and it's the weirdest thing.
I can tell you that the way people show beauty in terms of the beauty of a person, in terms of the face, that is a little bit shallow because we human beings buy into that a lot. Beauty does not go without brain. You gotta have both.
I think the beauty of somebody may not necessarily be to parade somebody in a swimwear. So that way, I think, it is demeaning.
When you describe an African woman, a beautiful one, you'd say she has body. we try to ascribe to the Western concept of a beautiful woman. And in fact, it doesn't go with our physical structures. There's even a saying, we know in Tanzania, hakuna mtu mwembamba, there's no skinny person.
Now, Jackson, many agree that the idea of beauty changes with time. For example, historically, people with larger, should we say, well-fed body types...
well-fed.
Isn't that rude? People with larger body types were the ideal. And they were seen as very attractive. Now people spend a lot of time and money trying to lose weight to fit in with the contemporary definition of beauty. And the contemporary definition of beauty is just so questionable.
Indeed, Nadia. Of course, you know, when you ask me who decides what's beautiful, beauty is subjective. That's something we should all know.
Of
Only
course.
The individual can decide what he or she finds beautiful.
Opayemi Obajemi is a Nigerian student. I brought him in for a chat with Charissa, who is a personal trainer and physical health consultant here in Washington, D.C. And I started off by putting Mr. Opayemi on the spot about beauty.
First of all, let me, I'll start off by you, Yemi. If you look, you first met Charissa today, right, a few minutes ago. Would you consider her beautiful?
Absolutely, yeah.
Why? Why would you say she's beautiful? Based on what? I
put
you on the spot right there.
You did. I think...
She's waiting to see why. Because your answer might determine whether you're going to play that game.
I think, like you said, beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. Every guy is attracted to something. So facially, she has a nice facial structure. She has pretty eyes. Physically, she is in good form, I think.
How would you respond to that characterization of beauty? Same that his attraction to you, based on your physical features. Are you okay with
people
saying you're beautiful just based on your...
No, I think it depends on how you're raised and, you know, your values. You have beauty that is physical, but there's also, you know, inner beauty, and I was always taught that
Absolutely.
The beauty that's most important is what's inside.
Yeah.
And I know
you said what's inside.
Yeah.
I know
yeah, true.
I know personally beauty. As yeah. a woman, when I go out, I do have a shapely form. I am considered curvy, and I know when I go out, I do at times get a little offended when I'm walking down the street because
you get a lot of attention.
It's a little too much at times. And I think that guys fail to understand that if you do that along with the rest of the guys, you're going to get what the rest of the guys get,
yeah,
the
absolutely.
Same type of response. I don't even look, but it's just the fact of how you approach it.
You're curvaceous, and because of that, you attract a lot of attention.
That's correct.
Most of it is unwanted attention.
Exactly.
What, for people who think that you're beautiful, or what type of attention is it? Negative or positive attention?
It's not necessarily negative. It's more so how it's the approach. So, you know, like I said, I think
the reaction of people is towards your beauty is you would consider, you perceive it as negative.
No. And it's not everyone. Because I think there are lots of people that look. I just think that it's your approach.
Do people from different parts of the world, or even different geographical spaces here in the USA, perceive beauty differently?
What people perceive as beautiful is what they know. People conceive beauty as to what they know. And I know that westernized culture has taken over the world, per se. For women, a lot of times it's, you know, smaller waist, bigger hips, which, and you can also divide that culturally, because bigger hips in African culture is different than hips in European culture.
Have you received the equal amount of attention from both races?
You know what? A lot of attention I get is from Hispanic Americans or Hispanics. Of course, I get African American, Africans. Actually, I get a lot of response from Italian men. Actually, I even get quite a bit of responses from European or white Americans, actually.
Okay.
It's actually, I guess my look may be a little universal. I've gotten European people who are from France who say, oh, you know, your features remind me of someone I know, you know.
Absolutely.
And then I've had people from the Dominican. I go actually go get my hair done in a Dominican salon. And I get that a lot, that I remind them of somewhere people that they know. And then I actually also go to an Ethiopian salon and I get the same thing. They always come to me and they say salam. And then, you know, it's just ironic because I've gotten I used to work for a Persian lady and she told me that I look like, you know, one of her relatives.
We should also let our listeners know that your personal trainer, people, what is the overriding reason why people come to work out, to the gyms?
Well, they want to lose weight. They want to look better. I think we all strive to look better.
Beauty is...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's definitely a bigger factor as opposed to... Or if you're staying healthy. If you're considering, yeah, staying healthy. Most people actually come to the gym to look better. And then, of course, you have those people who are actually sent by their doctors. They've waited too late, and the doctor told them, look, if you don't lose weight, you're going to end up killing yourself. So
walking out is good for both your beauty, your physical beauty, but it's also good for your health.
Oh yeah. I you know what, and it's funny because the women always come in and a lot of times they already have the body part that they want to work on. It's amazing. It's like they come and they're like, oh, the one lady was like, I want Michelle Obama arms. And then I had another lady, she's like, she just came in the other week. She's like, oh my gosh, I just want my butt to be bigger. And I was just like, oh boy. But you know, you get that. And
is there a workout for that?
You know, there are things that you can do. I always tell people that genetics override for the most part. Mm-hmm. But if you work it, you can shape it. Yeah, you can get it.
You want.
You might not get exactly the result that you want, but you can manipulate it.
Right. As we're still talking about this concept of beauty, I got in touch with my friend Chantal, and we talked about why people have different perceptions of what beauty is, different definitions of what beauty is.
So I don't think there's such a thing as African beauty because we're so different and we're so diverse and we look different. So I don't think there's that one way that you can say that there is a beautiful African woman. We're all different. I think there's not such thing as just one African.
Okay, so I thought you were putting it in the global perspective as in these, no. You know. All right. I hear you. So you would be considered a beautiful African woman or a beautiful Rwandan woman?
I would like to say I would consider myself a beautiful African woman.
See?
Yeah, you know, I mean...
Well, you're already contradicting what you just said earlier. And I honed in on the region, a specific region, and you're already saying no.
Okay, but here's the thing, though. I think at some point we had this whole concept of what, you know, a beautiful, an African beauty is. Mm. But it has changed. And it changed over time. But I think if you ask me personally what is beautiful, as far as when it comes to an African woman, they're so different. I mean, we're so different. And we talk about it all the time. You know, you look at an Ethiopian woman, you look at a Rwandan woman, you look at a Zimbabwean woman, you look at a Nigerian woman. They're all different. They all look different. They're all beautiful in their own way.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, there's no such thing. So I'd rather be considered a beautiful African woman than a beautiful Rwandan woman.
Okay. So are there people that are not beautiful?
Yes, I think so. I mean, I hate to sound mean, but yeah, I mean, we say that all the time. You see somebody like, oh my God, that person is not really, not that beautiful.
Okay.
And it's really...
And this is all based on physical...
This
is all based on their physical attributes.
Right. But the thing is, I could see a woman, I could be like, oh my God, that woman is so not beautiful. But then somebody else would be like, oh my God, actually she's really beautiful, you know?
Mm. You've been in such situations where people have very differing opinions on the physical attributes of a person.
Right. Like, we talked about, I think me and you one day, Alekwek.
Mm.
Right, Alekwek. You say you think she's beautiful. Yeah. I don't think she's beautiful.
Alekwek, the supermodel. You don't think Alekwek, yes, the supermodel, is beautiful?
No.
But the whole world does beautiful. Think that she's beautiful. That's why she's like the supermodel. She makes millions of dollars off of her looks. So, again, I guess I should be questioning your test then, or your standards of beauty.
But, you know, I think that and if you ask me what's beautiful about a woman, it's the way she carries herself. It's the way, you know, once you're comfortable in your own body, once you're comfortable with who you are, that makes you beautiful. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Thank you very much for listening to Upfront on the Voice of America. I would like to thank my co-host Nadia Sam in Johannesburg, South Africa. We would also like to thank all our listeners who contributed to the show this time around. And if you have any questions or comments or want to contribute to the show in future, remember to send us an email at upfront@voanews.com. If you want to connect with me on Twitter, my handle is @UpfrontAfrica. Let's connect again next week, right here, same time. On behalf of my colleague Nadia Sami, my name is Jackson Vunganyi. Goodbye.